Got a text from Rebecca Friday. And was almost positively sure that it was a judgment day. She wrote me and said the Waffle Houses in Jacksonville have locked their doors. And that's the place when they originally built didn't even have locks on the doors. I just thought so quickly of Revelation in the end times. 19, I'm going to back up instead of 11, I'm back up to 9. Revelation 19 said, and the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Oh God, we do not understand all that we hear. We do not understand the whys of what has been done. But we turn our lives to you, Jesus. And let your will, Lord, be done. We grieve today with the loss of a little curly-headed, effervescent, blue-eyed bundle we called Taylor. And by knowing that she had received forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, we can be encouraged. Father, that should be that way for all of us. For by the blood of the Lamb, as we read, we should join Him at the wedding supper and the great feast that God has got prepared for us in the new heavens and the new earth. There are many who suffer at this hour, some needing surgery, some recovering, others with illnesses, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial difficulties. Bless them, Father. May we turn it all over to You. Father, for our daily lives in this troubled world, when our politicians are debating over foolishness in Your eyes, instead of concentrating on the strength and the help they can get from Your Holy Spirit, forgive them and all those who do lead us in the wrong direction. Father, I pray a blessing upon this congregation, all the members that are here, that we can continually serve You by helping others as Christ commanded. Be with the military, the missionary, the service people here in the States. May, Father, we spread the gospel so that all may know Jesus is Lord. Be with the speaker at this hour, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have two apparels of clothing, actually three, in my life that I value more than I should. One was a pair of socks that my grandmother bought me in 1966 with the first suit, the actual suit that I owned. Now, I can't wear the socks. My feet are too big. I can't wear the suit. My body's too big. But I love them, and I keep them up in the top drawer to remember her. The second one is my letterman's jacket from high school. And, oh, I love it in the hours. I took it to be dry cleaned the first time. They said, we'll do this. It'd be $2.99. I said, I want it insured. She said, how much? I said, well, the time and the blood I've got invested, probably $10,000. She said, we could replace it if it's damaged, but it's not worth that much to us. And then the third thing is a tuxedo. Got into ministry. I don't know if Joe or you or Brother Campbell ever had a tuxedo, but a lot of the weddings want you to wear a tuxedo. I mean, that's sort of out now, but I've got a tuxedo. And I knew that any time I put it on, something good was going to happen. Because after the service, we were going to have dinner. And that's great. Because it was a time of fellowship, just like our fellowship dinners next door today even. Where we sit around and talk about families and friends and loved ones and vacation. All these things. I just love weddings for that reason. Get cake, and maybe if you're lucky, ice cream, and fruit punch made with Sprite and, I don't know, some kind of ugly stuff, and sherbet. It was just great. But I've got a plan in my mind, but that's not exactly what the angel is telling John here in verse 9 of chapter 19. He says, the angel said to me, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's a special, that's that invitation that's got gold inside the envelope when you open it up. And it may be signed, it may even be written in the blood of Christ. But it's an invitation he wished all would take, but very few will. He wished all would answer upon, but very few have. The wedding feast for the blood of the Lamb. He added, these are the true words of God. Well, that's sort of a misstatement in the statement, because God can tell no lies. God can only tell truth, because when God says it, it is truth. So when he says he loves us, he really loves us. Amen. When he says he will shelter us, he really will shelter us. When he says he'll protect us, we have been protected. And when he said he'll send his son to redeem us, we have been redeemed by the blood of that lamb. So that is a great invitation there. And the problem is, too many people don't take advantage of it. I bet a lot of y'all have gotten invitations to either birthday parties or anniversary parties or weddings, and I'm busy that day. You know what day it is. Doesn't matter, I'm busy that day. We've got to pay attention to this invitation. It's not going to run out of time, but we shall. At this, John said, I fell at the feet and worshipped him. Bad mistake, John. He's worshiping the angel. We're told by Jesus that we'll be above the angels in heaven. But he was so overwhelmed by the moment. Do not do it, the angel said. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers. And the brethren, it also means in Greek, who hold to the testimony of Jesus. He says, worshiped God. Our priorities have got to be there. Oh, the TV wanted me to feel so sorry this week because somebody broke into the room of Paris, or no. One of them Kardashian girls, and stole $11 million worth of jewelry. First of all, who needs $11 million worth of jewelry? Who needs a $3.5 million necklace? Who needs all the stuff in the opposite guy? Who are they trying to please? They're trying to impress other people. You don't need that. My wife's engagement ring cost me a whole $100 bill. Now, granted, it was 43 years ago, but still, that was a week's work. She still got it. I don't know how. I don't know why, but she still has it. Now, she's worn out three settings. We had to get different settings. But that was something that was important. It lasted. We've got an invitation. It's from God. It's for those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, who worship him. Just last week, Miss Kathy came forward. I wasn't expecting it at the time. I don't think the sisters were. But she accepted an invitation to be a child of God, to be buried in water and grave of baptism, risen to walk anew, and be in fellowship with like precious, with those of like precious faith, and with Jesus. That's an invitation answered and duly accepted in reward. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. The prophecy has been given way on back, all the way back to Adam and Eve, when they were promised that the Savior would come and the sins would be taken away. Went through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Went through Moses, David, Solomon. And it came down to the little baby. In that shelter, that stable, when Jesus was born. God keeps his promises. John goes on in verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there was before me a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. Now, some of us, most of us, can remember black and white TV. You know, Mary, remember that? And I do remember that great Saturday morning show that came on about 11, 11:30. And the man on the white horse stood up there and said, "Hi-ho, silver." You remember silver? And we know something good was going to happen because the lone ranger was riding a white horse. And that stood for purity and power and righteousness. Looky here. I saw heaven opened up. God parted the veil. What am I doing wrong? God parted the veil that stood between... Knock that one out, John. Go ahead, Jerry Clower. Knock it out, John. And he could see into heaven. And there was a white horse with a rider. And the rider was called Faithful and True. See, that's Jesus. He, no matter what we hear about George Washington, it is Jesus that cannot tell a lie. He's faithful and true. Faithful to his mission on earth, faithful to us, and true being told about and by him. With justice, he judges and makes war. I don't know, or just remember right now, it's insignificant what your political standing is. I remember the peaceniks in the 60s, anti-war demonstrators in the 70s, and during the war that went on over in Iraq, Iran, eventually, Saudi Arabia, those kind of places. There is war in this world. And it says to me right here, with justice he judges, meaning Jesus, and with justice he makes war. War against who? Not a national enemy, but the common enemy, Satan himself. And Jesus is in constant battle with Satan. And Satan's in constant battle, not only with Jesus, but all of his brothers and sisters. That's us. And he works on us. And he tries to distract us. And he tries to gain a hold on us to move us away from serving God. We have to resist Satan with the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It can be done. His eyes were like a burning fire. Did you ever look at an arc welder? Shouldn't do it very long. Or a big blast furnace up in the northern part of Indiana where they had all those steel mills at one time. Bright just hurts. Or reflection. These cars with this where you can't see in them, they put off a reflection sometimes. That rear view window, their rear window, you just can't see a thing. Just blinding you. That's what I'm gathering here. Just blind. The blazing fire. On his head were many crowns. We get a song. Is that not called Crown Him with Many Crowns? Amen. That's a crown from each nation. Each groups of people were given that. When the kings of England were very powerful in the ancient days, every time they would either win a war or they would marry one of the members of the opposition into family, they would give him the crown of that nation. And they would have many crowns. So that's not an unusual title in and of itself at all. He has a name. Now, folks, notice that name isn't presented to us right now. But he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. I'm thinking, you know, like those banners from Miss America or Miss Florida or Miss Mississippi. It's got Miss Mississippi on it or Florida, something like that. I'm thinking something like that. It's just a banner cross. And whatever that name is, it is so powerful and so true that right now it can't even be exposed to us. But it's a name, title, personality, or whatever of Jesus himself. No one knows himself. He is dressed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Now, we can debate all day long, if you wish, whether that blood is his blood shed at the cross or the blood of the enemies that he has defeated. I don't know. We're not told that. But it's significant enough. Any of you, I'm hot. I'm sorry. I want to turn this down just a very little bit. I know, Louise, you're cold, but it's 79 in here, and it's just a little hot. Next thing I'll do is take my coat off. I know. Where was I going with this? I'm probably not the only one here that's either had a white shirt, ladies, a white blouse or skirt, and the first thing you do is spill something like grape juice or red Kool-Aid or something on it. All of a sudden, it becomes a polka-dotted shirt. And no matter how much you wash it, it doesn't get back to the original white again. the ball game the other night, one of the mothers was talking about their kids get so wet down here during the football games that the father goes out and puts the jersey on a concrete driveway and sprays it with a pressure washer to get it clean. Well, now, I don't recommend that if you got it on. But he's saying that he's got a white robe that's been dipped in blood. But the blood makes it whiter. So I kind of think it's the blood of Jesus that makes it white. Whiteness, pureness, remember? Dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That is one of the titles we call the Bible. The Word of God, God's Word, spoken to men to write down to give to us. And the power that's within it. It can cheer you up when you're down. It can calm you down when you're too happy. And give you guidance of what you've done wrong in the past or guidance of what you should be doing in the future. It is all encompassing in our life. Matter of fact, it's in the old time mountain people, they use it as a medical book. Some of the cures in that will work for you. The Word of God it is. The armies of heaven were following him. Did you know that? The angels have armies. God has strength and power to back him up. And now the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has gone before to battle against Satan and all evil in this world, and the army of the angels are following him. Now this wasn't just John's idea. If you go back to the time that Christ was being crucified, that day and a half that worked in there, he told them, don't fight. Do you not think that I could call down legions of armies of angels to protect me? They serve under Christ himself. We are not alone. We are surrounded by God's love. And these angels make it work for us. Does that mean we get everything we ask for? No. Probably a good thing we don't get everything we ask for. But he gives us what we need. And that should be our prayer. Armies of angels were following him, riding on white horses, plural, dressed in fine white linen and clean. They were well prepared for this battle. They weren't wearing camouflage, they weren't wearing dark outfits, dirty outfits. They were clean by the love and the blood of Jesus. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which he will use to strike down the nations. There will be a coming to account for the lives of people and the nations they live. Now, we can go all sideways if we want. And we can blame everything in the world on God's judgment. And if any of you all grew up in the country, I did, and I served several country churches, and I remember droughts. And there'd be a drought, and one bad one was in Bourbon County, Montgomery County, back in 88. You all may remember that, Ms. Campbell. The droughts. And one of the men were complaining about the drought. The preacher said, I've always heard, if you have a big drought, it's because you're not paying the preacher enough. That ended the discussion about droughts for the rest of the summer. But God, you want to blame hurricanes? You want to blame tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, plagues, diseases. I remember 20, 25 years ago that some people said that the condition we call AIDS now, acquired immune deficiency, was God punishing people. Well, God can do it without any help if he wishes. And he may use outside carriers of the diseases or the destruction. But we'll leave that up to God. He'll get his justice as he wishes. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to what's going on in the world around us. He will rule with an iron sepulcher. Now, usually they're made of gold. It's what the king would hold in his hand, and he would point it or bring it in. He'd just direct, particularly with Xerxes. If you remember Mr. Xerxes back in the book of Ruth, if the king pointed to somebody that he didn't ask for an invitation, they could come in. If he didn't point to them, they would be killed just for coming to the king's chamber without an invitation. So that's what a sepulcher is. He treads the winepress of fury, of the wrath of God Almighty. Harry Beecher Stowe, in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, uses that line, the wine press. And she wasn't thinking about Lucy Ricardo in that episode of a Stomping the Grapes with the Italian woman. She was thinking about taking the life out of the evil of this world. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Handel, in a command request by the king, and I want to say Persia, but I'm not real sure, maybe Hungary, wrote the Hallelujah Chorus. And that is one of the major principles of that entire song. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, repeated over and over and over. So impressed was the king the first time he heard it, he stood up. And when the king stands up, everybody stood up in honor of the Christ that song was about. And it has been the tradition, when that song, that hymn, whichever you like to call it, is done in public, that the crowd arises in honor of Jesus Christ himself. But he carries that name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so there will be no confusion of what it's all about. I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, mighty men, of horses and their riders, of flesh of all the people, free and slaves, small and great. So bad will the destruction be on evil and those participating in evil, that there will be a feast for the turkey vultures, all the birds of prey, to clear the bones and flesh. Now this is nothing new. If you go back in the book of Isaiah, who predicted so much they would have learned from, Isaiah 13:6-11. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near, he wrote in a prophecy. It will come like destruction from Almighty. Because of this, the lands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look against each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of the heaven and their constellations will not show light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. That doesn't sound like a good vacation to me. That sounds like God saying, I've had enough. I'm wiping my hands clean. Maybe in his Pontius Pilate, just sort of cleaning it off what he's doing to Jesus. And the evil will come back on the evildoers. And they shall be judged. Whitey Bulger was a hitman, a notorious mafia, or at least an undesirable out of Chicago area and New York area, had killed not tens, but many, 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 many of his enemies and rivals, took on the run. He did very well for about 12, 15 years until it caught up with him. And now he's in prison awaiting his sentence. God's memory will last forever. Except and if when you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Take these burdens all away from me. What's that song? Roll away, roll away, roll away. All the burdens of my heart, roll away. God will do that. We claim him as our Lord and Savior through his Son. And that's what he's talking about. And all those who choose not to do that, their bodies, their flesh, their horses, their armies shall be destroyed by God's army, led by Christ, followed by the angels. Then I saw the beast. Going back several chapters, aren't we? I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their enemies together to make war against the rider of the horse. See, they're desperate. And to try to get themselves out of the trouble they're in, the doom is coming upon them, they go against the adversary of Jesus himself. And my sound's gone, Colin. Some are saying, like, oh, are y'all doing this that you don't want to hear? Going against them. And they don't want to have that happen. You don't like to be called into the principal's office.
You don't want to do like Jed Clampett used to say about Jethro. Someday I'm going to have a long talk with that boy. We don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be told we're wrong because we think we're doing it our way. God will get justice. Their armies go against the rider of the horse. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluged those who received the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. So God will take over. And the laxity that he had given to evil through the beast and the false prophet, they will pay for. It will come due on them. And we're doing all those who follow them instead of him. Sounds sort of dreary, doesn't it? You notice this part about the mark of the beast. 1900 years, people argued about that. I don't know. Since the 70s, I believe it's some kind of a stamp, some kind of an impression, even some type of a little computer chip. You ever go out the door at Lowe's or Home Depot and the alarm, please return to the counter. Please return to the counter. Because inside those boxes is a little bitty tiny chip. And he can see you going out the door when you shouldn't be because it hadn't been neutralized. So God can put a mark, put a tattoo, put a chip. I don't know. We can discuss it all day long if you wish, because I'd love to. But whoever it is, they have worshipped the beast. They have discarded Jesus. They have said, I like what I'm hearing because, you know, I don't know if y'all knew it. We got a lecture coming up. It's been going on for about 2 years. And it seems the best way to get elected is promise people something that they don't need, that they do want, and that you can't give them. But if you promise enough garbage, they'll say, hey, that's my person. I'm going to vote for them. Then when it happens, you're not going to say, Mr. Congressman, Mr. Senator, Mr. President, you promise this. Oh, well, I just said that to get elected. You ever heard that before? We knew that couldn't happen. Of course we did. Don't fall into the trap that the beast will want you to worship him. You're two of them. The beast and the Antichrist. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That term in Hebrew is Gehenna. And the ancient Greek could be Hades. It is the name of the Cedron Valley that is on the east side of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a big hilltop. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if there's a big hill, there's got to be a pretty deep valley. And as they built Jerusalem, as they lived there, that was a city dump. If you grew up in a town where they had a real city dump, you knew it. You knew every time the wind changed. Yeah, some of you do know that. And there would sometimes be fires, just spontaneous combustion, and they would just burn. And some of them, the one in Lexington, still burning. It's been 40 years, it's still burning. The white pipes go down, let the gas out, it's still burning. That's a picture that is used for hell, or Hades, or Gehenna. It's where they threw the dead, not the Jewish dead, but the foreign dead, or any dead animals, anything that was unclean. All the garbage, that's enough description, threw some over the hill. That's the impression that Jesus gives them when he's preaching about the place of the devil, about hell. Not pleasant. Burning sulfur. If you've smelled sulfur, if you smell a, anybody ever smell a rotten egg? Good night, you fall backwards, that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know that that is not where you want to be. Or follow the people that are there. The rest were killed with the sword that comes out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. What is the sword that comes out of the mouth of the rider of the horse?
Amen.
God's Word. God's Word. And we understand there's truth and power and strength, forgiveness and love and charity in God's Word. We know what it's worth. It's not like an antiquity that should be taken and hidden in some museum, never to be seen again. One of the oldest Bibles that they have came off of Gutenberg Press. I know a lady, and Murdoch that had one of the original four or five printings from the Gutenberg press. They couldn't even put a price on it. So she gave it to a museum. You know what they did? Locked in a dark place, and they put up one page at a time behind a piece of glass. That's all. Hide this, remember this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. So when people see you walking and talking and sharing and loving and caring for others, you are letting your light shine. That's what he expects. And he ends up with this terrible, terrible statement. The rest were killed with a sword that came out of the mouth of the Lord of the rider. And all the birds of the earth gorged themselves in their flesh. In other words, the bones were picked clean by the birds that ate dead things. Sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? If we say that God's word is true and inspired, which I truly believe it is, then God has got those plans for those people who deny Jesus Christ, his Son, as their Savior. It's simple. Third grade. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever believeth him shall not perish but everlasting. I'll change that today. I'm going to put this line in there for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that Taylor Jewett, who believed in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you don't know Jesus, we'll give you that opportunity now. Take that great stand for one day he will take the stand for us. Stand with me as we sing hymn number
493.
493, please.